This is Robert Martellacci, publisher of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's learning and technology magazine. I'm honored to have joined me this afternoon for a Mindshare Learning Moment, Brian Lewis, CEO of the International Society for Technology and Education, who recently hosted their annual conference and expo in Philadelphia, ISTE 2015. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Brian.
Hey, thank you, Robert. Glad to be here with you.
Wow, congratulations. I understand you had some 20,000 delegates at ISTE 15 in Philadelphia between education leaders and industry leaders in combination. What was driving that growth?
Yeah, it was really another terrific event. Well, you know, I think we have seen some growth the last couple of years. We in Atlanta last year, we broke paid attendance numbers by over 3,000 paid registrations, which is a huge leap for us, putting us at just over 16,000 in paid registrations. We came within about 300 or so, based on early estimates of that, this year in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And when you consider exhibitors, sponsors, corporate representatives, and others, speakers, it is over 20,000 people. So I would say a couple of things. First of all, we're grateful for the participation because it's the participation that is the event. I think it's a couple of things. One, ISTE has for many years developed this incredible event. It's this living, breathing thing that happens when all these collaborators and colleagues come together. And I think the economy picking up helps. I think the economy has helped, whether it's the educational institution that's footing the bill or the individual, many of whom pay their own way to ISTE. I think the economy beginning to turn around the last couple of years has helped. But I also think
absolutely,
that we've spent a lot of time reflecting on the conference. We did we had an outside firm come in 2013 and help us take a look at some things and reflect on the conference. We've made some efforts to improve specific areas and experience for the participant in the conference. So I think some of those things are beginning to manifest. We're in a constant state of reflection and improvement. We tried a few new things the last couple of years, and I think that people are really enjoying it. So we're thrilled with the participation.
Fantastic. And not to ignore the social media impact on the conference as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's really amazing what's happening across social media, all sectors, education, pick an industry. And certainly our particular audience and our members are very engaged in social media, and we see an amazing amount of that happening. We've got some ideas for how to maybe expand on that next year, and it is having a huge impact, not only on the people who are in attendance, but certainly for folks who aren't in attendance, their ability to keep up and track what's going on at the event itself.
As I was able to while I was celebrating my 25th anniversary with my wife and kids in Croatia and Italy, I felt very engaged at certain times when I could sneak away and in between sightseeing finding a hot spot.
Exactly.
I understand there was a strong contingent from Canada once again in attendance, and Surrey District School Board in British Columbia won the ISTE Innovation Award, which we were thrilled to see. What differentiated them from the rest? So perhaps you can.
Well, I don't have anything to do with that. That's a panel that reviews those applications. But as I'm told, and as we understand from the judges, it was really about the singular focus on students. Surrey has this very intense focus on making all decisions, in service of the student needs and learners and educators. And I think that was, as I'm told from the evaluators, really the overriding issue, and it aligns very strongly with where ISTE's philosophy is. It's a very, very strong focus, first and foremost, on the students.
Excellent. I hope my Canadian colleagues behaved themselves and didn't step too out of line. There weren't any arrests
We had a lot of folks. We had 76 nations represented.
Wow.
67 the year before. And you're right, this year Canada had the largest contingent of 411 members.
So wow, that's fantastic.
Canada, the next number was 136 from Mexico, 88 in Australia, 37 in the UK, and 32 from China. So no question Canada came in full force.
That's excellent. Well, we will resume our Can-Am celebration next year in, Denver?
Denver next year. We're very excited about Denver.
Excellent. Now, clearly there's a desire for education leaders to connect face-to-face. And what are some of the highlights at ISTE 2015 that really jumped out at
Yeah, I think we've made a lot of effort. Since I've been at ISTE 3 years now, there's been a great deal of conversation and feedback we get from the field about education leaders wanting to get more engaged in the organization 365, and certainly at the conference. So we've seen the organization. We've been focusing on a lot of things that are of interest to whether you're a superintendent, a principal, a CIO, a CTO, a teacher leader. Folks who are in those leadership roles are asking us to deliver for them, and so. You know, we made a special call out for those types of sessions at the conference. There were almost 30 sessions specifically geared to school and district leaders at the conference this year.
Wow.
A lot of them focusing on supporting the shift to digital age learning. And, you know, we also instituted last year, so this year was the second year of the Lead and Transform Town Hall, where there was a whole conversation about distributed leadership, student voice, and students speaking. We had, you know, everybody on the panel representing all facets of leadership, the teachers, the principals, CTO, superintendents, et cetera, really engaging in this collaborative conversation about shared leadership and the successful implementation of EdTech. And so the Lead and Transform Town Hall in its second year matured and was received even more popularly, more positively than last year. And, you know, we intend to maintain that and maintain these folks. We also had a session, that was Sunday morning, the town
right.
Sunday afternoon, we had a session that was specifically focused on helping folks who were trying to identify and select leadership strand sessions during the conference as to how to have that sort of overview of the conference and pick those sessions in advance on Sunday so they could plan their participation, specifically focused on those leadership opportunities. So, yeah, we're hearing a lot from leaders that they want to get involved. We're hearing a lot from our teacher leaders that they want our teachers want leaders to get involved, whether it's side or district level. They want their leaders to get involved in ISTE. They want them to know about the standards. They want them to
absolutely
know about the conference because they want to have that collaborative, shared sort of that collaboration in driving this change in learning.
Well, I like to say that it takes a digital village to raise a child these days.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, that's why ISTE for many years has had these standards for teachers and administrators and students and coaches and computer science teachers, because it's recognized that all these roles are very, very important. And what we're finding with ISTE is our percentage of our membership pie and actively engaged folks in the community who identify as leaders is growing, and we're doing more because they want us to serve them and we want to do
that. That's fantastic. Well, it speaks to the notion of interconnected human networks, right? You need the alignment between all those stakeholders, really.
Absolutely right. That's yeah. Right. We believe that very much.
What were some of the big topics of discussion that were occurring at ISTE?
Yeah, I think there were some overarching themes having to do, you know, digital citizenship is huge. I mean, it was huge at the conference in terms of the offerings. It's huge in terms of where ISTE's at. You know, we're published a new white paper on the subject that on for students helping students build and keep positive online identities. You know, we've got an academy centered around that an online academy that we offer around digital citizenship, and there was a ton of content at the conference about that. You know, it's a huge conversation. My column coming up in the next issue of Intersect, our quarterly thought leadership magazine,
which I love, by the way. That was, you launched that last year, was excellent.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really love it. We're getting good feedback because it gives us a chance. We do a print copy, but of course it's available online to the website, and it gives us a chance to have these broader, deeper conversations. So the content that used to be in the former LNL is still there. It's just online in what we now call the EdTech Hub, and we added this conversation. So you know, we're having these conversations, and we try to create these themes throughout the year. We want people to be engaged, certainly in the conference, but we want them to be engaged with ISTE and find resource and support and value in ISTE year-round. So whether it's digital citizenship or flipped learning, and of course, the ISTE authors of our very popular book were there, and they're coming out with another book this fall. Mobile learning is huge. And of
right.
course, that is absolutely the content of the conference, very much synced with our Verizon Mobile Learning Academy that's been so successful. So I think, you know, digital citizenship, flipped learning, mobile learning, these continue to be issues that are very popular. And as you know, we got over 2,800 submissions for ISTE 2015 for somewhere between 900 and 1,000 sessions. So, and it's all peer-reviewed by educators, peers, members of the organization, who review, and they spend a good chunk of time going through all these applications and giving everything very thoughtful, you know, review. And so it definitely is organic, and it definitely is reflective of what the field is telling us that they want to talk about and explore with one another.
That's excellent. And for education leaders who wanted to explore the latest and the greatest technology, you had an extensive expo as well.
Yeah, it just continues to grow. It grew again this year. It really is, you know, it is without any question the largest ed tech expo in the country. We're very proud and appreciative of all of our corporate members, all of our exhibitors, all of our sponsors, who do so much to create this experience for all the participants. And it does continue to grow. We continue to get, again, it's another area where we continue to reflect on our practice of not just putting on certainly the content is critically important, but also our practice of how we do this expo. We continue to try new and different things, both to benefit the folks who are exhibiting, and they're there for their business, and also for our participants and attendees who are there to try to learn and grow and have these experiences. So we're constantly trying to improve. But there's no question that we hit another high mark with the expo again this year. We're just very grateful.
Fantastic. Well, on to my next question. While teachers are making great strides as we seem to still have a long way to go in transforming learning through technology-infused pedagogy, how can Canadian teachers engage with ISTE through the summer and beyond, as, you know, we don't resume classes for the most part till early September?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge conversation. It's something we've spent a lot of time talking about the last 3 years, and that is, you know, a lot of people think of ISTE, they think of the conference, and that's great. We want them to, but we also want them to think about the things that are beneficial to them about ISTE and being engaged with ISTE throughout the year, whether it's engaging in one of 29 professional learning networks and engaging in that virtually. That's always ongoing, and there's opportunities for you wherever you live, and certainly in Canada, to participate with peers in those professional learning networks. And of course, you can find out more about those at ISTE.org, and you can participate as a member in any number of them that you so choose. And I think also, again, we have these ISTE academies that are self-paced, fully online. One focuses on the Coaching Academy. Another, I mentioned the Digital Citizenship Academy. There's one around the ISTE standards, one around mobile learning we talked about a second ago. And I think the benefit for folks who are engaged in the ISTE community, whether they're a paid member or just engaged as a what we call a community member online on the website, there are different levels of opportunity to engage with folks who are doing what you're doing, who have done what you're doing. And the thing that I love, I've worked in a lot of education groups, and all educators are committed and dedicated, and I love my work. But what I really love about ISTE is there is this unbridled passion among members of the broader ISTE community who are so passionate about what they do, who care so deeply about what they do, and who want so much to share what they know with others and learn from their colleagues and friends what they can learn to take back to their colleagues and their students. And so This vibrant community is a key part of who we are, and I encourage and invite everyone, including all of our Canadian friends, to participate in that community. You know, when I first got there, we did a lot of work to think about this great organization that was ISTE, and how do we reimagine this organization in the future, which the board was asking me to do, and we did some reflection, and it was really clear. We have three key what we call differentiators in the organization that make us unique in what is a crowded field of folks. And one is, of course, the ISTE standards, which are standalone. And
absolutely.
Of course, beginning the process this year of refreshing the standards, starting with the teacher standards. So the standards, the conference, and the community, those are the three things that we know that make ISTE what it is. And so we want folks to think about it 365. We want our Canadian friends to engage. We're having some great conversations with some leaders in Canada. We have conversations scheduled coming up where I'm going to be having conversations with folks who are interested in looking at different ways that we as an organization can get involved in Canada, ways that we can collaborate. I had the great pleasure of meeting Ron Canuel from the Canadian Education Association a couple of years ago in London. What a great guy. He and I are having some ongoing conversations about how can we collaborate and support one another, and what might that look like. So we're excited about those conversations and where that might take us. In fact, I've got a call pending with Ron to sort of pick it up where we left it off before the conference and see where we might go from there. So I think there's some great opportunity for us to collaborate.
Absolutely. You know, I know Ron very well. He serves on our board for C21 Canada. And you certainly put the eye in international for ISTE, and I commend you for that. And it really is... you know, a borderless organization.
Well, you know, great credit goes to the folks who've been involved in the organization for many, many years. previous staff, previous board members, volunteers over the many, many years, the community itself, and it's that work over decades, literally, that has brought us to where we are today. And so the work we're doing today is really built on the shoulders of the folks who came before us, and certainly that includes our global work. And we're building on those investments of relationship building and programmatic delivery. We're doing a lot internationally. We know that we're small. We're not a major you know, global corporation.
Right.
We're trying to be very strategic around what are the things that we can most do to fulfill the strategic vision of our board of directors to have global impact on the effective use of technology for learning, and how can we do that as a small nonprofit? Where can we do it? How can we have the most impact? And how can we do it, you know, in a sustainable way? We talk a lot about, you know, we're like any other going concern. We have to function in a way that is sustainable. And sometimes, you know, it's hard in a nonprofit to talk about, you know, net revenue.
Right.
But, you know, as the joke in the nonprofit circle goes, nonprofit is a tax status, not a business model, you know?
Yes, that's a good point.
When we conduct business and when we serve and when we do professional development, we need to do so in a way that is sustainable, because we have you know, we have limited revenue streams. Certainly the conference is the lion's share of our revenue.
Right.
Membership is, of course, very important. We have great corporate sponsorship support. But what we're looking to do going forward, whether it's domestically or globally, is to really diversify how we're delivering, to deliver that 365 sort of value to folks, and expand on our consulting services, expand on our professional learning services, and again, build them all around our core, which of course, is the standards. And so whether it's global, whether it's the standards, we feel very blessed to be working in an organization where many people over many years have created this great organization, and we're looking at our responsibility for serving today, and then how do we continue to evolve the organization so it can serve and fulfill mission and do so, you know, sustainably long into the future.
Well, congratulations on that, Brian. You're certainly walking the digital talk, as I like to say.
Thanks. I love my job, and we have a wonderful board that has focused a great deal of effort the last few years on where we're going as an organization, and been very strategic about that, and we have a great working relationship, and we've got a great staff of people who just absolutely love what they do and care deeply about what we do and care deeply about the people we serve. And again, the community is like none other. It makes it really easy to serve an organization like this when you're serving a community of people who care so deeply about what they're doing, about their colleagues, and ultimately, of course, about the students that we all want to provide, you know, a great education for. So it's a passion for us, and certainly for me, you know, in my role, and I feel really fortunate and very lucky to be in this position.
Well, with that, I thank you. I love your passion. I've had the good fortune of collaborating with your colleagues and many of your board members, and you're doing excellent work, and we greatly value our partnership and look forward to future collaboration.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And thanks again for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you again. That was Brian Lewis, the CEO of the International Society for Technology in Education. Be sure to check out www.mindsharelearning.com to get your latest issue of the Mindshare Learning Report. My name is Robert Martellacci, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.